And talking about the signs of the times, kind of being able to look around and see a lot of things that are happening, things that have already happened. But let's look at a couple more this morning. We're going to kind of finish out this series. Like I said, we're coming up on holidays. We're coming up on Christmas, and God has something special for that day. It's a great opportunity for you on Christmas and Christmas Eve to invite friends and family to be a part of what God has done. Okay, and I'll definitely be sharing the gospel message and allowing them to get a full understanding of what Jesus did for us and what God has done through him and our life, and now that we have as a believer what it is to live that out. So it's a great opportunity this next week, and the week after that we'll be talking about the future and what God has for the body of Christ, not just here but worldwide. So we'll get more into that in the next couple weeks. So praise God for that. I always look forward to this time of year. It's good stuff. But as we get into today, we're going to talk about some of the things that are happening just before Jesus returns. Okay, so that, remember, Jesus wants us to, you know, look up for our redemption draweth nigh when we see certain things happening and when things start happening in a certain order or in a certain magnitude, because many things are already happening. But when we see that increase to this magnitude, it's like, whoa, you know, there's no missing it anymore. Those that are hungry for God and staying in tune with him are going to connect. You're going to see that. You're going to be able to sense what's happening around you. And like I said last week, I think for me, it creates an excitement of what God is doing and knowing that, you know, he is on his way. He's got a plan and it's in motion. And we're going to see it fulfilled in Jesus' name. Let's start with some prayer this morning. God, we give you, Father, all the praise, Lord. It all belongs unto you, Father. Our lives are nothing without you. Father, we would not even live or breathe or exist without you. And so, Father, we lay our lives down right here and now at your feet and say, God, have your way in our hearts and minds this morning. As we take in your word, as we listen to what you have for us this morning, as we read what you have already inspired and given unto us, Lord, through your holy Bible, Father, may we entreat it into our lives and allow affect us so that from here on out we're not the same as we were when we came in, that we have a greater faith, a greater understanding of you and what you're up to, and Lord, that we acknowledge and maybe shove aside some of the things that might be trying to walk with you back in any way. Father, we're trusting you this morning, and in Jesus' name we all say amen. Amen. See, that's why I like having Weston out here. He's a great amen guy, right? Amen. So what's going to happen just before the day of the Lord, just before things really get into motion? There's a lot of things that we're going to see. We know that there's some trials, there's persecutions, there's tribulations. Last week we talked about offenses and persecution and things that are going to happen when we see it magnified upon the church, okay, where it's the Christian church is really, the devil is coming at it, trying to snuff things out, and God is allowing things to be shaken, okay, so that which remains is of him. Okay, and those things are, some of that is in motion. We've seen some things. The last few years have been phenomenal in my walk with God. I've been able to see what God is up to, or see more clearly even what the devil is up to, and to be able to recognize how he can implement something. I always wonder, how could the mark of beast ever, I mean, why would people ever, a few years ago we got to see people just kind of giving in, okay, in ways that we haven't before. I'm not saying that was just the devil or the mark of the beast or any of that yet, but we got to see how it's possible, okay, in a greater worldwide way than we have before. And just to warn you, what they're saying is coming in our country is of a magnitude that will make COVID look like, you know, fiddly sticks. I mean, it's going to seem pretty small compared to some of the stuff that's coming. So many of the signs that we've been looking into already have already happened. Okay, some things are already in motion that are able to, you know, that we could look back at history and we say, yes, these things have been fulfilled. And other signs that we're seeing and that we can look at and view right now can be clearly seen as we look at society. Okay, and we see what's happening, being aware of what is happening around us. It can be seen if we look at the church and what's happening within the church and the way the devil is coming at the church and the way God is sifting and shifting. And, you know, you're starting to see where there's this kind of a clearer division between those that are sheep and those that are just wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay, it's starting to come to light more and more. Okay, and then obviously we can look at individual relationships with Christ. Okay, and we're going to talk about some of that this morning on the great falling away and some of those kind of things. Now, some of the signs that the Bible clearly describes and that Jesus put into words for us are yet to be fulfilled. Okay, and one of those is the preaching of the gospel to all the world. Okay, it was a command of his, right? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, right? And he that believeth not shall be damned, a real thing. Okay. But that was not just a command, it is something that he states again here in Matthew 24:14. Okay, that the preaching of the gospel is to go to all the nations. Let's look at 24:14 in Matthew. Again, I'll just say it just to remind you, but Matthew 24 is full of end times information if you want to know what's going on and what's coming. Okay, look at Matthew chapter 24. Now this one says, "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Okay, that one stands out to me out of all the things that I read in Matthew 24 because of that last part of that verse. "And then shall the end come." Okay, because there's other places where he names stuff and he says, "But the end is not yet." And these things are meaning the end is drawing near. Okay, but here he states something that when the gospel is preached unto all the world, "And then shall the end come." Okay, the gospel being preached to the whole world is a major sign of the second coming of Christ. Okay, many have touted it to be the final sign that initiates the end of the age. Okay, where we're going to see something fantastic, I'll call it, happen at that point. Okay, you know, I get consistently more excited about this coming year for the Oasis Church. I shared a lot of the things that are happening. January, a time of prayer and fasting. In February, a partner meeting. And we're launching into what God has for us as we reach our community in more and powerful ways than we ever have as a church. Okay, we're going to set records, so to speak, for the Oasis. And I don't mean numbers. I mean literal hearts changed and things happening in real, real tangible ways. Okay, well, as God continues to reveal more and more details, kind of addition to the direction that he's leading us, I just get more and more excited. I'm like, you know what? Being a part of the remnant, okay, that is preparing the way for our Lord's return is what we'll be engaging in. Okay, we're going to be taking a bigger role in evangelizing the world that's around us. Okay, and if that bothers anybody, I'll just say, if you don't like leading people to Jesus, you need to be led to Jesus, right? You need to start there, okay? And then you'll see that, you know what? My life has changed and transformed. I am not the same. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell somebody else, okay? And we want to help share that gospel. We're going to renew some of the fire in our hearts, okay? As God begins to build us and build what he's doing, not just in the Oasis, but around the world, okay? There are many, many people in our community that have heard of God, okay, but they have never really heard the true gospel message. Their view of God is the big man upstairs, or their view of God is not realistic in any way. It's built on tradition or church doctrine or some other thing, and they don't comprehend the true gospel, okay, of coming into the kingdom, the king's dominion. Okay, the king says this. Okay, you do whatever that is, right? That's in obedience to the king. Okay, we are going to help share the true gospel message. We're going to bring it to them. Because if you look around you this morning, there's not many of them that came in here. Okay, there are some, okay, in this room that need to hear the true gospel. But there are a multitude of them right outside these doors, like that guy driving by right there in that white vehicle. Okay, they probably need to hear the true gospel, okay, and be shared. So we're going to go take it to them. You know, there has not been as much urgency in this role of evangelism for the Christian church worldwide in recent years. It has kind of waned just a little bit. Okay, but we are heading into a season of harvest. Okay, mark my words, we are heading into a season of harvest. That harvest cannot take place unless the people like you and me respond to God's prompting and we reap the fields that are ripe for gleaning. Okay? The fields are already white for harvest, Jesus said. I don't think that's changed. I think we just forgot. Okay? Or went a different direction as a body of Christ. Now, this urgency to share the gospel message is going to be enhanced, I believe, as we see some other signs taking place in our world. So what is happening right now? Okay, what is going on? Let's look back. Remember what we just read? It said, and then the end shall come. So let's go back up just a little bit to verses 6 and 7 and see what else is going to happen before we get to that point. 24:6, he said, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For these things will happen. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Okay, you know, verse 7 here says that nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Okay, I'm going to get into kingdom and kingdom in a future time, but right now I want to talk about the nation rising against nation. Because if you look up that Greek word for nation right there, it is translated ethnos, okay, in the Greek, and it means a tribe, a race, or a people group. Okay, ethnos is where we get our English word for ethnic. Okay, Jesus stated that in the last days we would see races and ethnic groups in conflict with one another. Okay, now, has anyone seen a resurgence of racism and ethnic stuff and fighting and going on right now? Okay, absolutely. We're seeing things all revitalized again. The same media platforms that can and are being used to spread the gospel to all the nations are also strategically being used to propagate the hate, okay, to sow division among people groups and to stir that up, okay, because the devil hates unity, okay, doesn't want that in any way, shape, or form. Okay, so today we are seeing racial clashes on the rise. Okay, things are coming back up to the surface that may have been going in a better direction for many years, even decades. Things were starting to improve. Okay, but we're seeing these clashes again between blacks and whites, between Jews and Gentiles, between Hindus and Muslims, and Shiites versus Sunnis, and Arabs versus Jews, and on and on and on. It just keeps going. Now, many of the conflicts that lead to wars and rumors of wars are a result of racial animosity. Okay? That's what people are defending. Sometimes their nation, or they're religiously defending something. Okay? And it stirs up these wars and things that come out of that. In the last days, we are bound to see racism increase more and more around the world as these demonic spirits of strife and division and hatred penetrate people's lives. Okay, that in part leads to something else that we're told by Jesus that we're going to see in the last days. Matthew 24:12. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Okay, in other words, because iniquity or lawlessness and wickedness will abound, the love of most people will grow cold. Remember, I think it was last week or the week before, we talked about the narrow road that Jesus says, few there be that find it. Okay, I want to find it. I want to be that guy. I'll lead as many as I can down that narrow road. Okay, let's find what it means to not grow cold. Let's seek the opposite of that. Okay, if you think about it, when you're seeing and hearing about criminals receiving little to no punishment for their crimes, we see it in politics all the time. People are lying, people are stealing, people are doing nasty stuff, and nothing happens. Okay, how do you feel when you see that? Does it like, oh, that's great? Or is it like, you get a little angry about it, you get a little almost resentful, because how come if I did that, you know, if I did that, I'd be going to jail, or if I did that, I'd be, you know, I'd lose my job or whatever. Okay, so when we see that stuff, that's part of how iniquity abounding makes people's hearts grow cold. It's like, it's lawless. People are in chaos doing whatever they want and nothing seems to happen. Okay, we see a horrible atrocities happening, but it doesn't seem like anybody's getting in trouble for what they do. Okay, I talked to somebody it was in the jail the other day, and they were from a different state, I'll just say, and he said, you know, if I was back home, I'd have been out already. Because of the laws in their state, what he had gotten busted for was a felony, and he was staying in jail. It was a $45,000 bond or something like that, a cash bond, and he said, yeah, if I was back home, I'd have been out on the street in a matter of hours, okay, for the same offense. Okay, to me, when I see that, I think, you know, it was a punishable thing, right? And yet the guy would have been back out on the streets and probably never made it back to court or anything else. You know, you don't have to let seeing this stuff harden your heart, though. Okay, and like I said a minute ago, I don't want it to be me and I don't want it to be you. Okay, and so I'm going to do my best as a pastor and a leader. I'm going to try to guide us and protect us to the very best that I can so that our love for God and our love for other people does not grow cold, but just the opposite. Okay, you'll never hear me say they're just bad people, we need to avoid them. You're going to hear me say we need to love those, okay, that despitefully use us. We need to love those that... I'm going to quote you what Jesus says about love and about how to keep that as something in our life that grows hotter and stronger and more fervent as we move ahead instead of faltering. Okay, you know, this sign of the end times of most people's love growing cold is closely connected to the sign of offenses that we talked about last week, where people get offended over small stuff, or they come in and they're actually looking for things to be offended by. And I guarantee you, I was thinking about this the other day, pastors talk to multitudes on a regular basis. If you listen to me, you will find something to criticize and to be against me for. I promise you. I talk a lot to a lot of people. Okay, most people come into a church and they talk to 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 people at the most. Okay, I talk to everybody for an hour, right? And so you're going to hear things. So if you're looking for stuff, you will find it, okay, to be offended by. Okay, now I know many people who used to be on fire for God. Okay, as a pastor, I just see it in people's lives. They used to be on fire for God. They used to be faithfully serving Him, okay? But now they have turned away from the Lord. Okay, some have backslidden, okay, so far that they're indistinguishable from the lost and unsaved world, okay, that you really can't tell if they're a Christian anymore or not. Okay, and they're apparently okay with where they're at because they're not seeking and striving for God anymore. You know, it's unfortunate, but here's what happens. Some of these people saw so much sin. Okay, they saw so much wickedness. They saw so much hypocritical behavior within the church that they gave up and left. Anybody ever seen things like that? Where somebody, you know what? I'll tell you, even in some of the online groups that you'll see this, where it's supposed to be a Christian group, right? And it says Christian in the title of the group, and somebody shares something or somebody has an opinion, and the other Christians come down on them and trash them and belittle them and just crush them because they'd committed some unpardonable sin by stating an opinion or stating something they thought was true or asking a question about something, and they just get demolished for it. Okay, almost like they need to be stoned to death, and we're going to use our words to do it. Okay, and then you'll see a few posts like, you know what, I thought this was a Christian group, you know, and they'll say things like, you know, I'm a part of some secular groups, and they would never treat me like this in those other groups. Okay, and then you'll see that, you know, kind of the dramatic exit post of why they're leaving the group. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, if you're not in any Christian groups, you probably don't. But if you're in Christian groups online, you probably know what I'm talking about. People leave a dramatic exit on why they're getting out of that group. I've left several groups because of things that were going on in them. I don't leave that kind of an exit, but I just quietly slip away. Does it matter to them? Why I leave? Probably not. Okay? But that's not really supposed to be happening, right? It's unfortunate, but many people's love for God grows cold because they look at God's people and they say, you know what, if being a follower of Jesus makes you look like that, then I don't really want to be a Christian. They're not any different than the lost world. They're not any, you know what, my buddies that go to the bar and hang out and party and they, you know, some work and some don't, and these guys treat me better than the people within the church. And if that's the case, there's a flaw within the people in the church. Okay, now, I do want to throw in a little disclaimer that people that walk away from God because of the way people in the church act are obviously focused on people instead of Jesus. Okay, how many people came in without a problem today, with everything perfect? None of us. Well, besides Isaac. Anybody else? Okay, a couple. You know, and in the spirit we are. I mean, we are perfect in the spirit. There's no better place to be. But our flesh still rises up, and flesh is still flesh, and, you know. But if you get caught up in looking at people, okay, instead of Jesus, you will be able to find many flaws. But you know what? You are supposed to be able to look at God's people and see a reflection of Him. Right? We should be able to look at one another and see Jesus. We should be able to look at somebody's life and the way they live and say, this is an example of somebody. Yeah, they're not perfect, but man, look at, they're living it out. Jesus said that you are to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay, if you're not at a point where what people see when they watch you in your life is a beautiful reflection of Christ, then maybe you need to get on your face before God and ask Him to help you to get there. God, I want my life to be an example. First time I got called a hypocrite as a young Christian, okay, and I was, man. I was preaching against this, and yet I was out doing the same thing. And somebody called my bluff, you know, got in my face and said, you're a hypocrite, man. I thought you were a Christian. And here you are out partying right along with the rest of us. First time I heard that, it hit like a ton of bricks. Went home, cried my eyes out. I didn't want to be that way anymore. I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want people to look at my life and say, I thought you were a Christian. I want them to look at my life and say, that guy's a believer. He's got something going on. He believes in Jesus, and it shows. Okay, and once we ask God, we get on our face before Him, and we say, God, I don't want to be this way anymore. Then we got to surrender to whatever He says, because He'll start cleaning up. Okay, He'll start doing what He needs to do. He'll start speaking it into your life, and you're going to have to do what you need to do. You know, I heard a story the other day of a pastor that said that a man from a different church had asked him a question. He said the man came and he said that his pastor preached on forgiveness relentlessly. He preached that Christians need to forgive others their trespasses. And his pastor made a serious point about especially forgiving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, and the man's question, he said he knew that that was true and that that was a good doctrine and that we needed to adhere to that. But he wanted to know why it wouldn't make sense for his pastor to preach on trespasses and sin and how Christians shouldn't be hurting each other so that they needed forgiveness. Does that make sense? If you don't, you know, if you're treating people right, then you don't have to go around asking for forgiveness all the time. Okay, the truth is that Christians ought not to be trashing on one another. Okay? You should be living a life that is above reproach. Okay? A life that doesn't require people to have to forgive you for the way you've been acting. You know, many people's love for God and love for one another is going to grow cold. Okay? And for a lot of different reasons. One part of it is going to be complete selfishness. That who cares about anybody but me, okay? And that attitude just squelches love right there. Okay, that's a love for self. Jesus said to love others as yourself, right? If you loved others that much, you wouldn't be acting that way. And many people's love for others is going to grow cold because they were betrayed or rejected by another person. Okay, and then they sort of blame God. They become bitter. You know, why is this happening to me? God could have done something. Something didn't happen right. And so they become kind of resentful. Okay, they end up abandoning their relationship with God. They start, you know, living according to the ways and the values of the world instead of the ways of God. Okay, but there's others that their love has grown cold because they didn't know how to cultivate their relationship with God. Or at least they didn't take the time to do so. Okay, many people know how. It's just a matter of prioritizing that in their life. People that never learned how to watch and pray. People that don't have a regular prayer time or spend time reading God's Word. Maybe they didn't see the value or the importance of church and Christian fellowship. Try to do it on their own. Okay, or they didn't draw strength from God's Word and draw the wisdom from God's Word that is so readily available. If they didn't lay their life down and take up the cross, okay, if they didn't deny self, okay, if they didn't die to the flesh while at the same time surrendering to Jesus, okay, they won't make it very far. Okay, there's a lot of people like that that live a pseudo-Christian life where it's kind of, you know, you're going through some of the motions, but there's no surrender to Jesus. It's still really about you, okay, and not about Him. But I want to tell you, if you're drifting from your faith at all this morning, the Holy Spirit is calling you back to Jesus. He's calling you to come back to your first love, right? He's calling you to come back to where you know, in deep in you, you know that that's the place where you want to be. Because none of us has that a good excuse to let the negative behavior of others influence us. Okay, we can't allow the mistakes and other people's evil deeds to cause us to forsake our devotion to God. It doesn't work that way. You're not going to stand before Him and say, well, sorry, God, I didn't walk with you because of him. Okay, I'd like to see, but I don't want to see you try it. There will be many that do, though. There'll be a lot of people that say, but God, it's His fault, it's her fault. We won't have that as an option. Okay, don't become part of the great falling away. Okay, be determined to be on fire for Jesus. We're going to be getting into in the next month here in January, we're going to talk about surrender. Okay, it's going to be a big theme for the month, I think. If, unless God changes something, that's the direction we're going. Okay, so if you want to, anyway, leave it right there. Return wholeheartedly to the Lord. Okay. Hey, let His love and His presence fill you up again. Okay, the last thing I need to share this morning is about one of the major signs of the last times. We're seeing it, but we haven't seen it yet in its entirety. Here's what's going to happen. Let's talk about fear. Okay, let's read Luke. Luke 21 is another great chapter for figuring out what's going on right now. Luke 21:20. We'll read a few verses here. He said, this is Jesus, by the way. He says, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Okay, just before Jesus comes back, we will see people fainting from fear and anticipation of the dreadful things coming on the earth. They will begin to cry out. Okay, and I think in one place it talks about people crying out for the rocks to fall on them because they're so afraid of what is happening. Okay, they lose hope. Okay, without hope, you live in fear. Many people today try to just not think about the horrible things that are happening around them, but when it reaches this point, you will no longer be able to put your head in the sand and say it's not happening. It will be so in your face. Okay, the increased presence and the manifestation of the demonic on the earth is causing a lot of people to wake up. Okay, things are happening right now where we can see, and it's people are saying, hey, I need to prepare both spiritually, physically, financially, get myself ready for what's coming on the earth. I just saw, Margie and I were watched a video or something the other day, and I saw a statistic that talked about, compared to just a few years ago, it's almost twice as many of Gen Z and millennials are preparing for a disaster or a catastrophe or things like civil wars and worldwide pandemics and devastating financial collapse. And people are starting to prepare, twice as many as were just a few years back. Today, there are atrocities that are taking place that have not occurred to the extent that they are right now. Okay, wickedness has multiplied to such an extent that many people no longer have peace inside. They just live with a constant state of anxiety and fear. People around the world are filled with fear, okay, and dread because they anticipate the arrival of disaster and food and water shortages and terrorist acts and violence from, you know, drug cartels and other things that are going on. Okay, more and more people are suffering from confusion, from loss of appetite, panic attacks, anxiety, insomnia, torment, diseases. Okay, many people's fears are based on real things. Okay, genuine. They're not running from something that's not happening or not there. It's a real problem that they're facing. But I want to tell you, fear is not an adequate or a helpful response to alleviate that fear. Okay? Fear doesn't get rid of fear. You know what gets rid of fear? Love. Whatever anxieties you're facing, remember that God is greater than all of your fears and that fear does not come from God. He is not trying to motivate you. Okay? You get information and God is going to pour something else into your life to help you overcome it. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Okay, I heard a statement the other day that love and its counterpart, fear, are the two most dominant emotions from which the majority of all human behavior stems. Okay, fear, you're either acting out of fear or you're acting out of love. Okay, but God gave us an antidote to fear. Right? He gave us the vax, right? He gave us the good stuff. Okay, the real stuff. It's called love. Okay, that overcomes fear. The way of the true Christian believer is a way that's filled with love. And get this as we close. 1 John 4:18. He says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. God does not want you tormented today. He does not want you struggling and always bogged down in distress. God wants you to receive the love that He has for you. The people who are distraught with fear simply don't know how much God loves them. They have not grasped that. I'm not afraid of the days ahead because I know my God. Okay? I know not only His power and His capabilities in my life, but I know the love that He has for me. He sent His only begotten Son to die for me. Okay? He's not going to let me stress out over little stuff. Okay, God is on my side. Okay, the Bible tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that was given to us. It was part of God's plan. Okay, but love is more than just a characteristic that should be in every Christian's life. Okay, it is the way through the future. Okay, love is what's going to get us through the days ahead. Okay, love is the key, you could say, to enduring unto the end. If I know how much God loves me, I can walk in His blessing. I can walk in His provision and protection. And everything that happens, I know, is because God loves me. And I'll grab onto Him and I'll just keep going with Him and staying with Him. And no matter what comes my way, my relationship with Him is just fervent and hot. And I'm just in the middle of it, always in communion with Him. Okay, last little bit here. Romans 8:35 explains this. Okay, Paul is explaining about the things that are going on in the world, and he says, what or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are still more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, it's like the Apostle Paul described as he was describing all the possible persecutions, all the things that might befall him when he went to Jerusalem. These guys had prophesied that you're going to be bound, you're going to be thrown in jail, these bad things are going to happen. And he's describing all these things that people had said. Okay, and then in Acts 20:24, he says this, and we'll end here. He says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of grace. He saw that love and God's grace toward him, and he just couldn't do anything but continue to spread that grace and that love message, the gospel, to the people that were around him. So let's go forward into these days. Okay, the days that are ahead with our head held high, okay, in full assurance of the love of Jesus. Okay, so full of the love of God that the things just don't move you. Okay, let's be part of the spreading of the gospel to all the world. Okay, let's let our love grow fervent toward God and one another instead of growing cold or falling away. Okay, that's our direction. That's where we're headed. Father God, we are praising you this morning. It is by your love that we stand here this morning, that we're here today. Lord, it is because of your love for us that you sent it in the form of Jesus. You sent him on our behalf to bear our punishment, to bear the sin, to bring us righteousness and hope and joy and love and all the things through your Holy Spirit. Father, we're praising you this morning. We give you the thanks for it. In you we rejoice. In you we press forward to fulfill our call, Father. We do it with joy. We do it in anticipation of your love and grace and blessing upon our life. Father, we thank you that you will lead us through unto the end, never separating us, never allowing anything to come between us and the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we thank you for this. Let us walk through this week, Lord, with an eager anticipation of what is yet to come, because we see it as an opportunity to spread the gospel, to share your word, to anticipate you and your return unto us. Father, we give you the praise for these things, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.